Last night I went into a horrible place, and I went into a place where the doors was iron and they were closed, shut in, couldn't get out, and all alone. And yet, been into places like this so many times in dreams or night visions or whatever. And I came to this big iron door. There's a number of things I'm not going to take time to relate. Where Betty and I was at a great gathering of some things. But anyway, I come to this big iron, solid metal door. And it was closed. It was locked. There was no way through. There was no way out. It was kind of like when I was in a dungeon here not too long ago when those lions attacked me and Lucifer came and pounced upon me when he came face to face with me. But anyway, I was determined to get to it, so I started calling on the name of the Lord Jesus to make a way, and it looked like there wasn't any way at all, but somehow or another he brought me up to the door, and I looked, and in front of it, had he not shown me, there was a place that was so exceedingly deep until it was terrifying to even get close to the edge. Right in front of the door on the side where I was at. But somehow I scaled that thing, got over it, and went over the door and found an opening over the door and went through. And I got in there, and when I got in there, there was a number of things that I'm just not going to relate this morning, some pertaining to Jerusalem, and I don't know what all it was. But anyway, the main theme of my thought is that when I got in there, in a little while, I had found my way out and was back outside. And then I thought, no, I don't want to do this yet. I want to go back in there. I want to find out what's going on in there. So I turned and I went back in there into a deep place as it went down. And I went with, and somebody accompanying me. They accompanied me. There's somebody that lives on the campground. That was a man. And he went down in there with me. I let him go. And when I got down in there, I looked, and I saw somebody that had been here from the Carolinas that you know. If I took time to tell the names and whatever, you'd know him right off. Caused me a lot of problems when he was here. But anyway, he's gone now. And I saw him, and he was down there. And, I was going to be social, I guess, just like always. But nevertheless, I suddenly realized that he was imprisoned there. And then when I realized that he was, I saw a big limousine-like pull-up with men, officials-like in it. And then it changed into a weird sort of a thing. And then I looked. And I said, well, I better get out of here. I just better get out of here. This ain't the right place to be. They let me know it wasn't imprisonment. And as I started to go out, I thought, well, I can't leave without the man that came in here with me. It wouldn't be right just to walk off and leave him, even though I was pressed so that I decided I just better get out of there. But when I looked around, I found him. I thought, no, I'll find him. And we'll go back out together. I'll take him back out. But when I found him, he was also a prisoner. They had gotten him, and it was like he was indebted to the government. He had defrauded them, and they were not going to let him go. And they had him in prison, and this was a sad imprisonment, folks. And I don't know exactly what it had to do with, but it appeared that it was more of a God thing, like he had defrauded God. And this thing that in cheating on God, this that had caught up with him. And then I turned as I started out when he was off a distance from me looking at me and I saw that I couldn't do anything. I started to go back out, to go back into the outside where I was when I went back down. And when I started out, I looked to my right and I saw a group of young men. They were young men. Men probably, I'd say, maybe in their 20s or 30s, and I saw them. Healthy, robust-looking young men. numbers of them. And as I saw them, their hearts longed for me. They longed. They were so thrilled just to see me and longed to get to me. And I try to relate to them because it seemed like that they had such a good attitude toward me. But nevertheless, I suddenly saw them drop their head like that, kind of in shame and remorse. And it was so sad, the feeling that I could see among them, because I suddenly realized that they were imprisoned and that all of those people had done wrong and was now in prison. And it was almost like they would never get out, never again be released. And I saw it and I thought, this is so sad. This is so sad. Souls in prison. So sad. And folks, that's where some of you are at right now. That's where you're at. You don't know it, but it's going to show up. That's where you're already at. So anyway, I just thought I'd relate that to you this morning because it's not good, you know, to go on and go on and listen to the minister and never do the things that he tells you to do and always shying away from the brotherhood and the sisterhood and never really visiting, never really working together, never really coordinating, never really doing anything, taking all the benefits that they've got in every way, but never synchronizing with them and never being part of them, never carrying the cross, never helping, always got a reason why you can't. Nevertheless, you pray for me because I myself have great need of the grace of God and the mercies of God. And I'm not throwing any stones at you, but being a minister, I warn you, as dear children, as a father in the gospel, though you have 10,000 instructors, Paul said you have but one father in the gospel. Many of you are begotten in the gospel as a father. And though we have many people coming in and out that tarry at you, and as Paul said, try to divide the flock and lead them away after them, for try to make a monetary, some kind of a monetary value of them to where they can rob them, take their goods, and they don't care about the souls. But I love you, and I want to see you prosper, and I want to see you blessed. And I know that many of you say bad things about me. It gets back to me. You jump on me through your husbands, and you jump on me through your wives, and you do all kind of things. But nevertheless, I don't feel bad at you. It's just foolishness in you to do it. But nevertheless, I still praise God, and I love you, and I try to bless you above all of that. And you cause me a lot of trouble with all these false brethren who always want to expedite their cause. And the Bible said if you bid at God's speed, you're partakers of their evil. If you even welcome them in your home when they are contrary to the doctrine of Christ, then you are also partakers of their evil. And one mind and one accord. And two can't walk together lest they be agreed. If you go with a wayfaring brother, one that's always erring, you are in the same condition. Let's give the Lord a hand. So the Bible said, mark them among you that cause division and have no company with them. For where there is confusion, there is every evil work. And these people cause confusion. And God hates them that causes division. But I felt like that I needed to nip some things in the bud and let you know what's going on and tell you, because that's what preaching is about. You know, one of the great problems of the day is that preaching has got to be taking an offering and seeing the evangelists get on television and everybody getting together and having their ball team and everybody having their social parties and never saying anything to hurt each other's feelings and just go right on and say, well, we're going to have a worldwide brotherhood, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. It don't matter what it is, just come on and throw yours in with the rest, and we'll all be one faith. You know, folks, I don't mean it wrong. I'm a preacher, but that's the most absurd thing I ever heard in my life. That's utterly impossible. There's no such thing as the Baptist faith and the Pentecostal faith and the Church of God faith and the Catholic faith and all these other kind of faiths. There is no such thing. There is one faith, and that comes by this book right here, by the hearing of the word. Faith by the hearing of the word of God. And the Bible said at the latter time they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron and doing all kinds of things, and they go by their own inspiration, their own thoughts, some kind of whatever they're getting, it doesn't matter what it is, and they follow that until finally they go to their doom and they are cut off in damnation. Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell, seeing that you are a generation of vipers? Aren't you glad you're not a viper? Let's give the Lord a hand. There must be a generation of them somewhere, or he wouldn't have said that. He was God in human form, and he wouldn't have said it if they hadn't been around. And they sure did have him upset, didn't they? They really had him upset. I hope and pray to God I don't get him upset. All right, you can be seated. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. Reverence and respect and bearing with me because I am a preacher. And I don't always say things as smooth. And the Bible said they'll say unto you, prophesy unto us smooth things. And I don't always prophesy smooth things. God always says good things to me. He said the right things to me. And every good and perfect gift comes from God. But sometimes God is right straight down the line. Brother Branham used to make the statement, right straight down the old Kentucky gun barrel. And he said, when you got a wolf among you, load your double barrel and go after him. I know I was preaching one night and I said, well, we need to load our double barrels and get after the wolf. Some fella, he come down to the church after, or down to the house after church, and he said, man, are you actually going to get your shotgun? And I thought, you know, he was a stranger. So he got the point, but he just kind of got it wrong. Well, anyway, there was a day when they really to use their guns as they went to church. They had to fight their way to church, and it was a bad situation. But we're fortunate we don't have to do anything like that. But we do have people that's among us that's supposed to be Christians is in worse shape than some of them that use the guns. They use the guns because they had to use them to protect their family's lives. But we got some that's just trigger happy, you know, in their mind. And as it has been said, always shooting off their mouth and saying things and doing things. It's just, I used to use a little saying that they don't ever get their brain in gear before they start off. They just do whatever comes to their mind. Well, anyway, we're here not to complain, but to preach the gospel and just to do it in an old-fashioned way. Like a songwriter said, Lord, I love you. My love is growing greater every day. And I love you, Lord, in that good old, just a good old-fashioned way. And I guess that's the way I am. I just love the Lord in a good old-fashioned way. I see these problems arising, and I can tell that things are not like they ought to be, and I don't expect them to be like that they ought to be, because we're fighting the devil, and the devil is the one that's causing the problem. And inasmuch as he's causing the problem, then that means there's nothing that we can do except just stand our grounds and fortify our little fortress and stay right in there with the Lord. You know, my mind goes back to the book of Jude, of these things that they called wandering stars, and spoke of these ungodly people with their ungodly deeds, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, and how that Jude came down on those things so hard, speaking against the ungodly. And he repeated it over and over. And then I think about how the contrast between this as to the ungodly, as we say, the ungodly people, and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is I'm looking at right now, the book of Jude and the book of Revelation right here close together, one complementary to the other, and Jude leaving off with that, and then all of a sudden, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I see how beautiful it is that the whole world comes to a terminal point to the extent that the church ages are over and over with an ungodly people but has turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and denied the Lord God, that is to say, denied the Word and turned to their own fables and their own understanding, their own desire, their own wretched way. And then all of a sudden the revelation of Jesus Christ appears as to the beauty of the contrast as to them that are born of God and with the mind of God, and this wonderful revelating light suddenly begins to glow, and all of the darkness begins to dissipate, and all of the ungodly just passes away, and there's nothing left of them. As this wonderful light emanates from God and from the breast of the Prince of Life. My, that thrills me. I feel the Holy Ghost just thinking about it. So then, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be able to win a soul, to do something for God, or to go into all the world and tell the gospel. But what a meddler somebody is that's got to meddle with the church or meddle with somebody else or pick up wayfaring brethren that are out there that are not wayfaring because they're having problems, but just because they're renegades and false brethren that just drift around year after year causing trouble. That's the kind of people that we are dealing with, and God doesn't like it. Somebody said, well, them poor brethren, everybody's rejected them. That's not what it is. You are a renegade, and you run after the same old thing. That's what it is. Two of you are just alike. Brethren don't reject good, godly people. We need to get that in our minds and realize the Bible said, withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly and have no company with him. He said, every brother. It doesn't matter if he is a brother. The Bible said, withdraw from him and have no company with him. And if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, to go from him. Isn't that right? So then somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate that support this morning. It makes me believe that you're right, folks. Well, anyway, if I sound just a little bit strong, I don't mean to be. I think the other day I ministered to you and I got a little bit strong. I told my wife, I said, I think I got a little bit strong. But I had so many people that come around and complimented the message. They said, Brother Pike, that's what we needed. Said, that really done something for me. And it was really surprising to me at the people that I had, that I could tell that really loved God, that really wanted something. And they said, we'd just been kind of complacent. And when you brought that message, said it just shook me up and made me come to my senses. And some of them began to confess that they're sitting at home watching television. Their wife was watching television, and they didn't want to get rid of the programs. They didn't want to get the thing out of the house. They've been here 15 or 20 years listening, but they still said they love their television and their shows and whatever. I said, well, there's no problem there in that to the extent of what's being said, except that they just hadn't been born again, that's all. I said, it doesn't matter if they come to church. They got the love of the world in them. I said, they ain't been born again. Well, anyway, I can see that I got a lot of support toward the right thing, which thrills my heart and makes me happy because I know that you are a soul winner. When I see the respond that I get this morning and the applauding of hands, where the Bible said, clap your hands, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And I see your attitude toward God. It makes me know that you're real, genuine Christians and that you do love the Lord and you're not a generation of vipers. And it makes me to know that you're real, genuine soul winners. And you know, it's not only that I say that, but it is proving out that you are. The gospel, even from this little church right here in the campground, is going around the world, and I'm not exaggerating. And it's so wonderful as we get the response. As a matter of fact, some fellow was calling from or writing from Bell Garden, Florida, and telling how that he had tapped in on some things, and it was real shocking and amazing as to what he said. And then some fellow called me from Australia. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I was over in Romania and said, I am a missionary out of Australia. And said, I was there preaching and I've set up about three churches, established about three under heavy persecution from the communism and from other people. And said, while I was there in Romania, I went out into a village away from the city and said, I happened to go to a little church and I picked up some literature and said, I was amazed to see that it was your literature. And he said, we're speaking of the power of the printed page in, you know, little Bethlehem. And he said he really wanted to come here and meet the brethren. And you could tell he really wants to be part of the brotherhood. And you know what he sounded like? I never met him before, but talking on the telephone, he sounded like a real fine man. And that he really meant business with God, and that he was really trying to preach the real, genuine gospel. And that made me happy, because he also has a mission down in Australia. And he said, when I come back from Romania, I come through Hong Kong, preached a few days, and then into New England and preached a few days, and come on back over here in Australia. And I'm calling you from Australia, and it's so good to be able to talk with you, which it was a thrill to me to get to talk to him. I always love to touch base with the different brothers around the world. You know, they're laboring, and they're trying to go on with God. And he was expressing to him, to me, he was just saying, Brother Pike, I don't feel like it's right that some people, everything is just so-so with them, you know, financially, and everything is just so-so with them as to their homes and where they live, and everything's just right, while we as missionaries are out here on the field trying to sacrifice and do what we can to reach souls. He said, I don't feel like that's right. And you know, he wasn't critical. He wasn't asking for an offering. I didn't feel any respect of want. He was just making some good, sound statements, because I agree with him. And the Bible said not that we should have a lot and they should have a little, but as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, that he that gathered little had no lack. But all of this that we supposedly have left over as to our family security supposedly should go to him or go to those that are in need. I said, well, are you married? He said, no, I don't have a family. He said, I'm about 50 years old. And he said, I've given my whole life to Christ, just to the mission field, and given my whole life and time just to go wherever the Lord says go and to do what the Lord wants me to do. Isn't that wonderful? And I could tell he was real genuine. I quizzed him on his doctrine, and his doctrine was right down the line, just like that. He believed in holiness. He believed in baptism in Jesus' name. And he was trying to stand up for what he believed. Now, I might be disappointed when I meet him and stare around him a little while, but he sounded like he was real genuine to me. Folks, that's the kind of folks I want to stand with and help. And that's the kind that I like to take the bread off of my table and give to them, you know. That just suits me fine. But I tell you, some of these others, they really get under my skin, as we say. Well, anyway, this is the thing. The revelation is so beautiful. At this time, it is the most fantastic, the most beautiful, the most awesome thing that's ever come into the world. And it had never been given before. Never in the history of the world had it ever been given before. And Paul said, now is brought to light the wonderful blessings of God and this great mystery that's been hid from the foundation of the world, that many great men have desired to see these things, Jesus said, but they've never seen them. But ye have entered into the labor of great men. They labored and you're getting the benefit of it. And Paul received this wonderful revelation. It was so powerful that it actually caught him up into the third heaven, which that's not phenomenal to the extent of what God can do. Is it a great thing that God, or an incredible thing that it should be thought that God can raise the dead? Isn't that a simple thing for God? And when God wanted to move Ezekiel around, he didn't get an airplane or anything else. He just picked him up in the spirit and transported him over to the valley of dry bones. When he wanted to move somebody, if he took an ocean, he just picked him up in the spirit and took him. Because that is the way that God works. If he decides he doesn't want a building around, he just sends the wind and he picks it up and sets it in the middle of the ocean. He does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. So then, when I think of the revelation, I think how great it is. Here Paul comes and he gives his life. He takes his whole entire life, everything within him, his strength. He's beat, he's stoned, he's left for dead, he's shipwrecked, he's put in prison, he's mistreated, he's rejected. But nevertheless, through it all, the Lord had said, Paul, I'm going to show you what great things that you're going to suffer for my name's sake. I'm going to show you all these things that it might reveal Christ in your life. And you know, this is where we get tangled up, because we think, God, show me all this great, wonderful thing that I am, Lord. I just know I'm the man of the hour, and I know I've just got it. There's just something about me, and oh God, I'm just that man. Lord, and show me, I must be on television, I must be in magazines, and I must be before the people, and I must tell them all that I know, whereas the Bible said a fool uttereth all that he knows. And I just must tell them, and I must have the preeminence, I must be over them, I must have their admiration. How foolish, how childish, how childish. And God said, Paul, I'm going to show you what you're going to suffer for my name's sake. It's going to be self-denial, it's going to be heartaches. The flesh has got to die. I despise that image, Paul. That image is a bastard child image born out of wedlock from the fall. And I despise it. And the thing must be killed. It must be put under your feet. You must self-deny. And this thing will be imprisoned. This thing will be beat. This thing will go by the whipping post. Just the way I did the body of the Lord Jesus when I made it the image of iniquity. I smote it until I was satisfied and I released from the inside that prisoner, which is the lovely Son of God, and I let the Christ step out. So then, Paul, I'm going to do the same thing to you. Folks, and that's what he does to us. And we go through anguishness, and we go through suffering, and they that suffer cease from sin, and all the calamities of life befall us. While others go around and do their thing and just cause problems among the church and the brothers and the sisters and just always running their mouths. The Bible said some mouths that ought to be stopped. They go about subverting whole households, you know, and trying to lead people around astray after them. And some people, they work like this. They work both ends against the middle. They come to Brother Pike and they come to you and they want your favoritism. And they want you to work with them. And they want you, they'll say, thus and thus and thus and thus, Brother Pike. And then they'll go over here to somebody else and they'll get with them. They'll say, thus and thus and thus. You know, and I think, you hypocrite, you hypocrite. My dear God, you know, it takes a skunk to act up like that. Come on, folks. I was preaching under my tent one time and I saw something of a skunk. I said, there's something around here. And it wasn't long before it showed up. See, the Bible said in the days of the Lord Jesus, at the time of the flood, when God had built that ark and the Spirit of Christ had moved, that a sweet-smelling savor come up in the nostrils of God. See, and these people, they'll come to me and say, nah, it ain't nothing to these people over here. They don't know it, but I got them on the hook, and I'm doing such and such. And Brother Pike, Brother Pike, Brother Pike, you know, Brother Pike, who can stand before flattery? And then when they leave me, they go to them people, great and mighty, Brother Pike, great and mighty. You know, Brother Pike's nothing. Isn't that low down? Somebody say amen. Let's be realistic and let's look at it like it is. You know that's the way it is, and you know that's hypocrisy, wretched and evil, and you know God's going to get you one day. He's going to burn your fields and set your fields on fire for being so complacent and being such a hypocrite. Somebody say amen. Well, amen. If I get a little bit strong, you just say, hey, Brother Pike, put the brakes on. Nevertheless, you know, I feel this, folks. That's the reason the church is in a mess today. That's the reason we got such a conglomeration today, is we let these things come in, and the Bible said these have crept in unawares. And they are spots, and they are blemishes in your feast of charity. And while they feast with you, they're wells without any water. They're wandering stars. They never hold a place, you know, to where they can shine and give a little light or help or support anything. They're always just wandering about from place to place. Wandering stars, and the Bible said they're raging waves that's foaming out their shame, ever casting their mind up upon the bank, and they're always promising people liberty while they themselves are the children of corruption and bondage. For whatever you're brought into bondage by, aren't you the subject of that? So then they are brought into bondage with the carnal mind. They do those evil, wretched things just to trouble somebody. And God said, I will trouble them that trouble you. All right. So then we thank the Lord this morning that I do have enough brethren somewhere and enough sisters that have a real backbone that'll stand up to those people and tell them like it is. The Bible said, woe unto that man that calls darkness light and light darkness. I've got people that stand up, that have a backbone, and not like a chameleon. They don't come over here to try to bleed Brother Pike or this place of everything they can get when they're puffed up, vainly puffed up and living, as Paul said, in the vanity of their mind, and just trying to get them something going somewhere on another corner or do something or project that old fleshly image of theirs that God hates. They don't do that. They come here, they want to hear the word of God. They want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They don't want to be rebellious, and they don't want to be stubborn, and they're not trying to cause anybody any trouble. They're just trying to live right and try to be a Christian, and they'll pull out their sword, and they're people of war, and they'll whip that sword, and in a minute they'll run that sword through you. The Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back that sword from blood. And they don't hold it back from blood. When you cross them, they'll run that sword through you in just a minute and let you know who you are and what you are. Like Joshua of old, when he pulled that sword, even on the captain of the Lord of hosts, not realizing what he'd done, he was ready for battle. And the Bible said, Lord, don't send me up to battle unless your presence go before me. And I've got people that's got a backbone that'll stand up, and the Bible said, and stop those mouths that go about subverting whole households. I got other people that's just kind of mealy mouth, that they listen and listen to the garbage, and then they won't say nothing back, and it's kind of smooth it over, you know, and let anybody come in here, anything come in here, and whatever it might be. You know, I told you one time, I said I saw in a night vision, and I saw that this place was a beautiful garden. It was so beautiful. It was filled with lovely trees and loins, and it had beautiful lakes and streams, and there was game of every kind, just like the Garden of Eden. It was so lovely. And I thought that you didn't have nothing to fear in this place. You didn't have nothing to fear. Everything was quiet and serene, a real tranquility about it. But the only thing was, we had a problem, and that was different people coming in wanting to go hunting and fishing on our land. Isn't that the problem today? Too many people want to fish on it to hunt, but they ain't got license. So it's up to you to do something about it and stand up and say something. Be a real man, a real woman, and stand up and have a backbone, and don't be a little wishy-washy nothing. You know, like a preacher was preaching one time, he said, well, he was under the tent and he was in a big way. And sometimes preachers kind of get beside themselves. Paul said, we're beside ourselves. A lot of times we get beside ourselves for the Lord Jesus and out of the zeal for Christ. But he was preaching, and anyway, he said, you know, some of you people keep saying, well, I'm just a little old worm. You know, can't say nothing, can't do nothing, I'm just a little old worm. He said, you know, said the devil knows that, and one of these days he's going to stick you on his hook and go fishing with you. That's just about the size of it, folks. But you know, if you love the Lord and you do what's right, God will watch after you. Didn't know that? God did say, Jacob, thy worm, I will help thee. But you know, he didn't just call Jacob a worm. When Jacob realized he was a worm, you know, the worm means the serpent, the one that's fallen through the fall of Adam and coming down that's on his belly. But he didn't just call him that as to that was born to the flesh, but later Jacob wrestled with an angel and prevailed. And when he prevailed, all night long he prayed and wrestled with the angel. And the angel told him after that, said, you'll be a prince. Said, you've actually prevailed against an angel. You've actually kept me here, you know, when I couldn't get away. You've actually proved your strength greater than my strength. And man is made a little lower than the angels. And yet you've got something, Jacob. There's something that's got a hold to you. It was the Spirit of God, something greater than an angel. And he said, your name is going to be called Israel, which means a prince. So then we're not just a worm as to our first birth, but God is wanting to call you Christian, Christ-like, prevail to become a Christian, the name of a prince, Christ. So then we don't have our own names and our own identities. We have the name of Christ. We have the wonderful Spirit of Christ. We don't have our own spirit. We don't have our own mind. We have the wonderful mind of Christ. Whereas the Bible said, let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus, being made in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. But he didn't try to seek a reputation for himself and go out and make himself a name. He just humbled his heart to the washing of the feet of the brethren to show himself a servant and a pattern and an example. Well, anyway, it's like I said, who can stand before flattery? I try not to flatter you. When I come up here, I try to tell you the truth. Some people don't like it because they say prophesy to us smooth things. Brother Pipe, we don't think you are in the Spirit. We don't like that. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm in the Spirit and Christ is with me, it doesn't matter what you think. See what it is? The fire gets to burning and it gets under your feet and you get upset. That's where the problem is. All right. So then, you that love the Lord, I can just feel it emanating from your breast. I can feel the Spirit of Christ. I can feel the love of God. I can feel the... Not only are you said amen with your lips, which the Bible said some serve me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. And not only do I feel it from your lips, but I can feel it emanating from your heart. I feel a love, a concern. I feel something said, glory to God, I like this truth. I want to be a real Christian, Heavenly Father. Lord, help me. Help me to be a real man and a real woman. And help me to stand for the Word of God and the truth of God. And help me to stop these mouths, not to be ugly and pounce on people and not do or fail to show them the love of God, but just to be ironclad in the sense when the Word of God says it, I ain't moving. That's my foundation. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm not going to keep you long this morning. I get zealous, you know, and I could just go on and go on and go on. Because I love you and I love to talk with you. But I do feel that I am a watchman on the wall. God said, I've set you as a watchman on the wall to pluck up and to plant. And I've set you over the nations. So some of you people are watchmen on the wall that are set over the nations. There are some people here that are fathers in the gospel. They are elders also. And they watch after the children. Your parents in the gospel, and you lay up for the children. And my, what beautiful children they are, and how great you are as an elder, because it doesn't have to do with your age is growing old and dying. In Christ, you never grow old. In Christ, you never die. It means that you are an elder to the extent that you have developed and become one in knowledge, and understanding will be great and mighty in the world to come. And you're watching over the children. And some will rule on thrones and actually sit upon thrones. Some will be in the city. Some will be outside of the city. Some will be sitting on thrones and ruling over cities. And they'll bring the glory and honor into God periodically as they come to give praise and honor from the people of the city. So he's made you kings and priests. God hath made us kings and priests unto our God. And some of you people here, being sons and daughters of God, you don't realize how great you are. I was telling somebody in the last day or two, see, when I come in your midst, I am one that loves you, but I'm very small, very small. I'm less than nothing. But I come in your midst, and I'm reminded of what the Scripture says. See you, and I trust that I am also, that you are a stone of fire. Which means a diamond, a jewel, a stone of fire. And the Bible said Satan walked amongst the stones of fire. Don't think he isn't around. When he came before God in the days of Job, and the Lord said, from whence cometh thou, Satan? He said, going to and fro in the earth. And he said, over there in the old prophecy, I've walked among the stones of fire. He walked in the midst of the children of God, them that have a real fire. They're not just reflectors. They're not just believers. They're not wandering stars of nickel and rock, but they're like the burning day star. And that fire is emanating from them, and it's such a glow and beautiful thing as to that rainbow blaze that's coming out of them. And they're literally stones of fire. They're alive forevermore. And Satan said, I've seen them. I've walked in their midst. Oh, they're so beautiful, folks. They're so wonderful. And not that they're going to become, but they already are. See, they already are. They've been that way from the foreknowledge of God, from the foundation of the world. And as far as having problems, I tell you again, the Bible said, Jacob, have I loved. If God has loved you before you was ever born into the world, if God loved you and has watched over you before you was ever born into the world, and has called you to be a Christian before you was ever born into the world. And the Bible said this was given to you in Christ before you was ever born into the world. And it came to pass that he heard you before you ever called. Oh, that is, he heard you before you could ever call because you'd never yet been formed in the womb. Now, what do you have to worry about? What do you have to worry about? Somebody said, well, that's the way I believe it, preacher. Bless God, I believe you're predestinated. I've heard them take this approach. You know, you either go in one way or another, so there ain't no need to worry about it. But you know, that's not the way the Bible gives it. It does give it as being the predestinated of God. That is true. By foreordination of God, through foreknowledge, we are what we are. Because God foreknew the path that we would take. Now, he hated Esau because he saw the path he would take. He loved Jacob because he foresaw his heart and the way that he would take when he was born into the world. But the predestination is that we are predestinated in the Word. We are predestinated in Christ, which means if you don't walk in the Bible, if you don't walk in Christ, you're not the predestinated unto eternal life. See, that's settled. You've got to be predestinated in the Word and in Christ Jesus if you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. That's the only predestination there is as to a foreordination of God. So when we look at this, we try to understand it, try to have the proper priorities in our life and evaluate properly, then we know that when God says, Jacob, have I loved, it's because he saw him walking in the Word. He saw Jacob when he was born into the world that he would go the way of God. He saw that when the preacher come, as we say, the prophets of old, or the preacher come and tells them about the word of the Lord, as we would say in this day, that they're going to believe the word of God. You're going to believe the word of God. You're going to listen to the word of God. The proof of believing the word of God is that you're going to honor and obey the word of God. And if you don't honor and obey the word of God, it means that you are not one of them. If you can't fellowship the brothers and the sisters, if you don't find any fellowship with them, you're walking in darkness. For the Bible said, they that walk in the light as he is in the light will have fellowship one with another. And therefore, that means that you not only have the fellowship with God. A lot of folks pass it on and say, well, that means you're supposed to fellowship God. That means that you're just ignorant. It means you'll have fellowship one with another, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Members in particular, and one spirit draws you together in one body. It's understood that if you're a Christian, you'll have fellowship with God. If you don't, you ain't even a Christian. Let's get the scriptures right. The Bible said, rightly dividing the word of God, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So then, let's don't take the word and hybrid the word and go around and twist the thing up to our own doings because we want to do wrong and go wrong and be what we want to be and pass it off, using it over here like Satan did as a crutch when he quoted the word to the Lord Jesus Christ when he had personal motives. And like I said a little bit ago, these people that go around working both ends against the middle, they don't care anything about this group that they're with, nor do they care anything about this group. But they want to use Brother Pike in this group and use these others over here and work them both together and get control of both of them so that the whole thing will come back to them in the middle. Isn't that right? Both ends against the middle. That's what they're doing so that they can get the benefits of it. All right, so I say again, this is what you call preaching. Amen? Now, if I just get up here and tell you a Bible story, I haven't done you much good. But I'm supposed to minister the gospel to you and tell you the truth. Well, anyway, I said I wouldn't hold you long. Maybe I'm getting too long for you. But anyway, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a beautiful thing. It is here. I would love to really have commented on that some because the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is here. And when I say all these beautiful things about it, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, that's just the way you see because you believe that's your ministry and all these kind of things. But that's where you're wrong. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that's not my ministry, your ministry, his ministry, anybody else's ministry. God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ alone. And he has shared it with me because I'm a member of his body. And he shared it with John. Well, they called it the revelation of St. John the Divine. It was the revelation of Jesus. And God gave it unto him to show unto those that were to see it. That was unto his people. So then, the revelation of Jesus Christ, I am not overrating it. I am not speaking too highly of it. It is so astoundingly wonderful that all of the world and the universe and every star and all of the billions of things as to the galaxy can't even touch one tiny bit of it. It excels so great. all of eternity, all of eternity does not match it even to the extent of one tiny little bit of it. So then it is the great and mighty God himself, as he exposes himself and makes himself an expose through the mind of Christ. That's what the revelation of the Lord Jesus is. And I'm fortunate to have just a little bit of insight and a little bit of touch from God that I might be thrilled by it and be able to express these things to the listeners as we've been able to do for many years. So I thank God for a little Bethlehem and the gospel going around the world and to be able to take the Bible and expound a few things. And I warn you again, as dear children, listen at what we're saying. The wolf is on the prowl, and the Bible said in the latter days, Satan, he'll go about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, and you can be sure he's on your trail to get you. You say, well, I don't think he's going to cause me much problem, because Brother Pike, he hasn't caused me much problem so far, because I just believe in God so strong. No, that ain't what it is. If you believed in God so strong, he'd be causing you 10 times the problem that you're having if you really believe like you think you do. Not only that, but let me tell you something. If you think that you are believing and Satan isn't bothering you, just remember what it is. You're just not bothering him. You know, you're not bothering him. I agree with what Allen said one time when E.L. Allen was preaching. He picked up a chair and he said, folks, you see this chair? So the devil isn't bothering it. Said, you know why that the devil isn't bothering it? Said, it's not doing anything for God. And you know, that's the way it is. When you don't do anything, the devil isn't going to bother you. If you just kind of coast along and you're just a religious person and you got your little thing going over here and your income and your securities and all the values of life and you're just being religious and just having a fervency, you know, just to go out and testify, have somebody look at you and admire you, and you're going to do something over here religiously, he isn't going to bother you. But you come down the line, you begin to preach against sin and corruption, and you'll begin to cross somebody's paths, and I'll tell you what, the devil will rise up like a snake. Every time he'll do it. All right, I'm going to say this and try to close here. If you don't bother the nest of a hornet, they usually won't bother you. Did you know that? But you go over and dabble around with them and see what happens to you. And that's the way the devil is. So just be thankful. Be thankful for what you got. As the songwriter said, you got a lot of good things. To some folks, these things would mean a lot. The blind man, he can't see flowers growing in his garden. And the crippled man, he can't walk places that he wants to be. The deaf can't hear and the dumb can't talk. The blind can't see and the crippled can't walk. But you be thankful for what you got. For to some folks, the writer said these things would mean a lot. Well, let's stand together. I'm thankful for little Bethlehem and I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful for a few minutes of exhortation to exhort you the more as I see the day approaching, of trying to bring to you the wonderful words of God. And I have preached to you for many hours, and I feel a good spirit this morning. I'm satisfied we could go on for a long while. But we do get to a place of complacency to where we rather the preacher wouldn't say much, and the Lord gets to where he won't say much to us. He'll let us do pretty much like we want to. But I do say this, hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you want to be filled, you must do that. Just drifting along, it will never work out for you. It will never work out for you. Having your personal motives, personal fleshly ambitions, you're too much in the flesh. I feel it emanating from somebody this morning, ever since I've been here, from an individual that really feels like that they're going on with the Lord. They got everything lined up with the Lord. And they got their programs, and yet I feel it emanated. Their spirit is crossed mine just like that this morning. Not going to say anything to them, but they know better than to do that, and that means that they're in trouble. See, I've been talking even here about somebody that lives on the campground that's done the wrong, and they were in terrible circumstance, I'm telling you. But that doesn't mean anything to you. You feel like, well, so what? You know, 6 of 1, 6 of 2, the other, that's whatever. But folks, it ain't like that. It ain't like that. Wait till the blazes of hell begin to burn on your soul. Wait until that weight and that gravitational force begins to suck you down into the dark pit. Wait until the torture and the torment of the pain come and the interwoven thing like hell in your bloodstream when you can't get loose and you're going out of your mind and you're tormented and you're tortured and you're begging for just one moment of relief and it don't come day and night. See, there's no rest, never again. And I tell you this, you don't believe this. You don't believe this because you say, well, Brother Pike, he don't really know. He says these things, you know, and I think maybe he understands a few things and he'd like to encourage us. But folks, let me tell you something. This is profound facts. It's been revealed to me. It's been made known to me in the scriptures and by vision. You can take the mark of the beast right now. Right now. And some are taking it. I saw it in a vision. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pike, when that time comes, I'm telling you, I saw it. You need to do something. You are either a beast and a generation of vipers. But I say this as goes out to the world. You are either a beast as to the first birth or a generation of vipers from your first birth, or you are either a son and a daughter of God by new birth and by regeneration in that you have received the mind and spirit of Christ. Folks, if you don't get it, you couldn't have it. You couldn't have it. So let's sing a little chorus together. You know, the Bible says His Spirit agreeth with our spirit. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Your spirit has got to agree with the fellow that you're walking with. No matter what you say, you can use all kind of reasonings, you know, but nevertheless, your spirit has got to agree. Somebody said, well, the way I look at it, Brother Pike, it don't matter what he's done yesterday or she's done yesterday, it don't matter. It's just the fact that I'm going to fellowship them today. I know. That's because you're in the same rut they're in. You're in the same corruption they're in. You're wallowing in the same mire. You're lapping the same vomit. Say amen, folks. That's where it's said. Wake up and the devil won't be able to grab you every few minutes. Now, so somebody said, well, it don't matter what they done yesterday. Yes, it does matter what they done yesterday. Because what they done yesterday, that's the same thing they're going to do today unless they're born again. Now, if they'd never heard about God yesterday and the day before and the day before and the year before, and they'd never known anything about God, and then all of a sudden these things come upon them and they're converted and they come to God, then wash it away, forget it. No remembrance of former things. But if they knew about God yesterday and the day before and the month before and the year before and they went on in the same rut, then they're in trouble. All right, the Bible said after the first and second admonition or admonishing, reject them, the heretics. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we, Brother Taylor? Let's sing, I love him. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we sing this little chorus together. You know, when we come out from among the world and those people that are in the world and begin to love one another and begin to cleave to one another, the translation is going to take place. And God is cleaning up the church now. He's drawing you together. He loves you. He's drawing you, and the love of God is constraining you. Come out from among the world. Be a separate people. Touch not those unclean things. He said, even hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity. When he says hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity, that means hating the flesh. The flesh is that garment. And he said, when you come before me, I don't want that garment. I despise that garment. He said, bring me a garment that's been tried in the fire. Ain't but one garment that's ever been tried in the fire, and that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It passed through the flames of hell. He said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized into Christ. Put ye on this body. Get rid of your body. You know, you're not the same creature. You're born again. You're resurrected in the newness of life. You move from the old man, Adam, to the second man, the quickening spirit. So, if that's not your case, then you need to be born again. I love him. I love him. All because
that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Sing that with me now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All because that you first loved me, and you purchased salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book. Can you sing that with me? Oh, every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Oh, we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. One more time. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Oh, we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in God's book. One more time. Give me a wave, all of them. Every promise in this book, it is mine. Hallelujah. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Oh, we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Somebody say hallelujah. Every promise in the book is mine, and I believe you believe that. For the Bible said God has given us all things that pertain unto life through the great and mighty promises this wonderful book. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, Amazing Grace, can we? Amazing grace, how sweet your sound. For you saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I can see. Oh, it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. When there 10,000 years, bright to shining as the sun. Oh, with no less days to sing God's praise, and the wind. We first. Can you sing it like this now? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Can you close your eyes? Lift your hands. Let God search your heart. Can you love Him and let your spirit go out to God? Just love Him today. Tell Him how much you love Him. You belong to Him. You're going to live forever. You're eternal. You're going to be young and strong and happy and powerful and rich and filled with the knowledge of all God and heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Give Him a wave offering. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.